welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today, and I'm sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. Well, today, I'm really delighted to be speaking, and you'll see why shortly, on the phone with Judy Strong, and she is the author of A Child's Grief, Surviving the Death of a Parent. Timely, timely topic. Judy Strong grew up in Wisconsin, raised her family in Minnesota, and has lived in Mesa since 2002. She began writing seriously after the death of her husband, and Judy's first book, No Time to Grieve, A Survivor's Guide to Loss and Healing, actually began as a journal and was a 2005 Writer's Notes Book Award winner. Her newly released book that we're going to be talking about today is A Child's Grief, Surviving the Death of a Parent. And she wrote this to actually help children and families to cope with grief and loss. So timely, so important. Judy holds a BA degree and has taught preschool through grade 12. Her volunteer work has included classroom involvement, Christian education program leader, and sewing blankets for kids. Judy writes regularly for an online ezinearticles.com, and she actually wrote a seminar entitled Getting Your Affairs in Order for Presentation to Interested Groups. Her website, please do check it out, is judystrong.com, and she offers services and products relevant to grief, loss, and recovery. She also has books, CDs, newsletter, and blog that actually gives you ongoing information and support for anybody that is going through a mourning process. Hi, Judy.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here because what we're going to be talking today is about a really important topic. From what I understand, there just isn't enough focus put on the child when there is a death in the family, and particularly if it is a parent.
That's true. People really don't know how to deal with their own grief, and consequently, when there's a death in the family, child can't always express how they feel, and the parents and the other family members don't really know what's going on, and because they're also grieving, it just makes it a difficult situation.
Yeah, and it's tough, and, you know, just even being somebody that, for instance, you know, myself going to talking to somebody that has just had a death in the family, it's like, what do you say? What do you do?
Well, that's right. We're a society that kind of avoids grief and loss. We don't want to think about it. We always have the attitude, we'll deal with it when it happens, but that's not really very good. I think that if we just get some basic information and know that what people really need is for someone to share their own grief, if we share our own grief with the child and tell them how we feel, they'll be more open and ready to talk about how they feel, what their questions are, because children can't always articulate, and even if they're old enough to talk about it, sometimes they're afraid to say something to an adult.
Of course, especially if they do see the adult grieving, and, you know, there's different stages of grief and different types of grief, and it could be very scary because it's the first time this child has seen a grieving person.
Well, that's right. And usually the child is feeling abandoned. Children who lose a parent almost always feel very abandoned. They have specific fears. They fear that they'll forget about the parent who died. And they also are afraid that something will happen to the other one, the surviving parent. And this puts a great deal of fear and loneliness and insecurity and on them, and consequently, they just can't talk about it.
So how do we talk to these children? How do we bring out that grief in them and, you know, express it in them? It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to have feeling.
Well, it's a good idea to just commit to spending a lot of time with the child, whether you're a family member or maybe you're a neighbor or a good friend of the family's, or even a teacher who sees the child every day. If you simply address the situation and say, how are you feeling today, and then listen, we have to really listen carefully to what the child says. And try to zero in on that. If they say they're feeling better, we say, you know, we give them positive reinforcement. And if not, it's a good idea to say things like, well, I have some suggestions for you, and I'd like to talk to you about this a little later, or let's sit and talk about it right now. The child needs to know that you really care, and they really need to know that adults are competent, and sometimes that's hard for us to convey because when we're grieving, we don't feel competent. But the child needs that security, so it's a good idea to set up some special times so that they feel that you really care, you're really interested, and maybe you don't have a lot of great ideas, but you're caring toward them, and that gives them a sense of security.
And that's so, so important. Now, Judy, when we're talking about child, so, you know, a child can be from, you know, 2-3 years old that they have lost a parent to death, and there's just that, like, you know, all of a sudden the parent is gone. They don't understand death to, let's say, a teenager, 15, 16 years old, that does understand death. Now, you obviously have to treat these differently. So let's take age group. And what about that little child, the 2-3-year-old, but all of a sudden, daddy's not around?
Well, children very young do realize that somebody significant in their life is gone. The very young child relates most strongly to the nuclear family, and when they lose a parent, it's really like losing the world. One of their champions is gone, and they notice that that person just isn't there. They also notice how other people around them feel. But as the child gets older and they begin to understand a little bit more about things, they will ask more questions. They begin to want to know, well, where did Daddy go? What did happen to Mommy? And sometimes we don't know what to say to them.
Exactly. And so what do we say?
I think that it's important for families to talk about these things. Hopefully they talk about it before this happens. This is kind of why I write about and deal with this subject, because I'd like people to be prepared beforehand. But if they sit down and say, this is what we really think, this is our belief system, or this is how we feel about it, it's important to share the truth with the child, to give them whatever answers you really feel are appropriate, rather than just saying, well, we don't know, or we're not sure, but everything will be okay, because this gives a false sense of security. They really need specific answers. Children are very concrete, and they don't really begin to think abstractly till they're maybe 10, 11 years old. And so if you can be very concrete with them and tell them how you really feel, it's better than just avoiding the situation.
I so agree. And, you know, one of the things that I grew up with, and I'm sure that this happens in many cultures and societies, is when there is a death, they've gone to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives such mixed messages, because on one hand, we're being told that heaven is this place that we want to be, and it's great, and, you know, all the wonderful stuff that comes with it. All of a sudden, there's a death, and this person goes to heaven, but why are we feeling, as a child or, you know, anybody, really, there's that mixed message. It's like, why am I feeling the way I am? This person is gone.
Well, this whole idea of heaven and an afterlife is something that's really difficult for adults to fully understand, and it's very difficult for a child. They simply cannot visualize what heaven might be, where the person is. They only know that they're gone from their life. And one of the other problems with saying things like that is that the child thinks, well, if it's such a wonderful place and my parent, my mom or dad or even a grandparent went there, they must want to be there rather than here with us. And so it does give a mixed message.
Yeah.
And I find that sometimes people should just simply try to talk about the specifics, about how much we miss them right now and the things we're going to remember about them, rather than where they are.
You know, that's so, so true. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit about how you got to write this book in particular for children, and what, a little bit of a backstory so that our listeners can understand where you're coming from personally.
Well, when my husband died in 1991, I still had three children living at home. I have four children. My boys were 15 and 17. My daughters were 20 and 25. And we had a very difficult time, even though my husband had been in the hospital for 5.5 weeks and had a very difficult illness. And I realized at the time that my main job was to kind of bind up wounds, to stabilize the family, and to help everybody to try to come to grips with what had happened, and I was unprepared. You kind of think you're going to know what to do, but you really don't. And so I began to journal, and most of what I journaled turned out to be my first book, No Time to Grieve. But then I started writing things down about how my children felt, and when I was finishing that book, I asked them to send me a few pages about what they remembered when their dad died and the whole hospital experience, and also how they feel, how they felt that it impacted their lives. This was about 10 years later, and I was really stunned by what they said because I thought that we were really in tune with one another, and I realized actually there are a lot of things you don't talk about. The kids don't always tell their parents. They don't want to make people feel worse, and so they keep a lot to themselves. And I thought, this really needs to be another book. So I started putting all of that together. And then I decided that in addition to my own children, I needed to interview some other people.
And so your children at that time were then, you said your youngest when your husband passed away was 15.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like 10 years later, and by that time, your child, the 15-year-old, was then 25, and so there was a different concept in his mind also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, but he was still, it's interesting, 10 years later, the memory was still there.
The memories were there. They were very keen. I noticed that when I interviewed other people besides my own family members, I was just amazed that the people remembered very vividly, regardless of how old they were when their parent died. Some were 4 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, or how many years had passed, and for some it had been many years. When I asked them about it, they remembered sights and smells. They remembered exactly how they heard about it, how people related to them, what took place, flowers and people visiting and things like that. And I realized that this never really completely goes away. And that was, to me, a motivating factor to continue with this and let people know, because we tend to think that kids just slough things off, mm-hmm. they grow up, they go on and make a new life, and they hardly remember it, but they really do. They remember all of those things.
I agree. I don't think that we do give them much credit, because as I was listening to you, all of a sudden I was having flashbacks to myself when I was a child, and a second cousin of mine died when he was, I think he was about 4 or 5 years old. And, I mean, it's still very vivid, and my goodness, that's been probably, I hate to say this, but probably about 55 years ago, but it's very clear for
mm-hmm.
me. You know, the reactions and actions and the whispering, and I remember the father crying, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a man cry, and I was just like, wow, you know, it really upset me, and I could still visualize that. And so, yes, those memories are there, and they do stay for a long time. Now, when you talk to your own children this 10 years later, there must have been a lot of healing that happened during that conversation and a lot of closure.
Yeah, there was. They all said different things. They all remembered different things and in a different way. Some remembered things, but out of order for the way they really happened.
Uh-huh.
But we talked about the fact that over the years they found ways to deal with it. The two boys who were teenagers both had memory lapses for about 4 months from the time their dad died. For about 4 months after that, they can't really remember anything at all. And then their life seemed to kind of pick up again. And we talked about the fact that there are certain things ingrained in their minds. You know, when a parent dies, the child remembers the parent at that age. They remember the way they looked and the things they talked about, and usually the last things they did together, especially if they were a little older. And we talked about the fact that when you lose a parent, especially if the parent has been ill, you become more attuned to other people's problems, and they said that it makes them more sensitive. They'll pick up on things in other people or in other families, and they realize that this is something that happens all the time, and most of the time we just kind of gloss over it. But I think that they realize that this made them stronger. They're a close family. We're very close. The kids are close to one another. We spend time together and really enjoy that. So I think this makes them mature maybe a little bit faster.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We are speaking today with Judy Strong. And as if you have heard so far, Judy is very, very knowledgeable, not only from her own experience, but others also. And the topic is really important to us, grief. You, as the mother, 10 years later, talking to your children, what was that up for you and your feelings and with this whole, how they felt and what they were able to express?
Well, what I first realized is that I had not been quite as in tune with them as I thought I had, and the importance of actually sitting down and discussing specifics rather than generalities. At the time, we just tried to get everything taken care of, and I was really busy with other things. And I wished that if I could go back, I would talk about some more specific things. But what they actually brought up is the fact that today, they use that information to help them make life choices. It's helped with their value system. It's helped with relationships. It's helped them, I think, to be a little more sensitive. And I saw that as a good thing, even though I felt that maybe this might have happened anyway. You really never know. But the fact that one parent is gone always is there at the back of their minds. Whenever there's any kind of an event, graduating from high school, graduating from college, the birth of a grandchild or something, that one parent isn't there to share it, and it's a little bit of a poignant situation.
I can well imagine. So, Judy, you interviewed other families. Now, I would assume that you interviewed families that had younger children then. Is that it? Were some of them with younger children?
Well, the people who I interviewed were different ages. The youngest, I think, had been 4 at the time that his dad died. And the oldest one was, she was a young adult. But she began to tell me about this when I told her I was writing this book. She told me about the death of her mother and how difficult it had been. I also interviewed my cousin, who was about 6 when her father died very suddenly of a heart attack. And I only interviewed that person. I didn't interview anybody else in the family. But they had different impressions. It depends on how the family structure is. But I realized that no matter what the age of the child, they feel a little bit isolated and abandoned. And I think this is really important for the future. That's one of the reasons I like to write about it, because we don't realize this, and children go through life all sometimes carrying that residual grief inside them.
Exactly, and as we know, grief often turns into anger.
Yes, it does.
And wow, you know, there's many times I'm sure that the people, the kids, they hang on to that grief for so long, and as I say, it just turns into anger, and so they start acting out, and it's really difficult for the family that's remaining, because they don't understand what is really going on.
Well, that's true, and statistics show that children who don't completely grieve and heal have a lot of problems. This goes on for many years. In fact, I just checked some statistics yesterday, and very high percentages of adults who have problems, or older teenagers who have problems with delinquency, with drugs, with violence, have lost a parent or have grown up without one parent. And so it's really important for us to understand the need to sit down and talk. The parents usually address the behavior, and sometimes the school will address the behavior, but they don't really get to the bottom of it, and that's the difficult part.
Yes, it is. You know, it's just like putting a Band-Aid, but the sore is still there, and it's not addressed. And it's unfortunate, because a lot of these kids end up, you know, as you say, just acting out and on drugs or alcohol or whatever, just, you know, to compensate for that, to cover up that grief that's actually there, that's turned into a lot of other things. So you, this book, is it statistically geared for an adult to read, or is it to be read together with a child?
Well, I specifically wanted to address adults. I wanted to make it available to adults so that they could understand what happens to the child, whether they're the surviving parent or a family friend or anyone who works with children, so they have a better understanding of how to actually help the child. If it's an older child, they could actually read the book by themselves, or you could read parts of it. I think the story of Johnny might be interesting for an adult to read with the child. And it's actually been interesting to me since I published the book, and I've been kind of talking to people about it. Sometimes people who did lose a parent when they were young will take the book and read it and say, you know, everything you say just resonates, because maybe they're 25 now, or 35, or even 45 years old, and they say, I was 14 or I was 10, and I wish somebody had known about this because they could have helped me.
So how do you suggest to parents of young children that, you know, the parents are still there is no death, to actually, how do you approach a child and talk about death and explain all that to them? Before there is any illness or an accident or whatever happens, so that there is that understanding, how do you suggest that the parents approach it?
I think one of the best ways is to start approaching it through other forms of nature, to start talking about plant life, about trees and shedding their leaves, things like that. We plant a seed, it becomes a plant. It grows, maybe it dies, but the seeds come up. Start to talk about animals. If kids have pets or something, this is a good time to say, well, you know, here is what happens. We have a cycle of life, and we love our pets. We love our families, and sometimes things happen. Just get them used to the idea that this is something that you open up about. And it's also a good idea if they have a neighbor die, or maybe a friend has a grandparent die, and certainly when their own grandparent dies, it would be a good idea to expand on it and talk about the fact that this is a cycle of life, and we need to be prepared to lose people we love, and start to talk about how we're going to keep them in our hearts, keep them in our minds, and just give them a general idea. This is what some other societies will do, and they really do a better job of it than we do.
Isn't that true? You know, yeah, you're so right. So I'm wondering, Judy, what do you suggest to parents that want to talk to their children, but there are so many different belief structures within the family. I just know that my experience was that, you know, we have one belief system, and then, you know, my aunts and uncles have a different belief system, and the neighbors have a different belief system. And how do you, and everybody feels that they're right, and at the time, as you know, when there is a death and there's grieving is going on, all this stuff comes up. What do you suggest to the parent? How do they handle their kids, and how do they tell them that this is our belief system? You know, ignore everybody else, or how do you do that?
I think that it's important the immediate parents sit down with the child and say, here's what we believe about life and about death, and here's why. And other people will tell you other things, and it's their privilege to believe different things, but for the sake of our family and how we feel and how we handle these things, this is what we're going to do. And I think the child needs that sense of security from their own parents. And if you tell them, other people will have different ways of doing things, but the goal is to say goodbye to our loved ones, to keep them, to cherish our memories of them, maybe make a memory book or something. And as we go along, you can say, as we go along, we'll talk about this. And as you have questions, bring them up. And then it's a good idea to say a little later, if there is a death or something, if they've gone to a funeral or families have gathered, to say, what are your questions? I would really like to know what you think and how you feel. Because sometimes we don't get back to the child and say, well, you know, what are you making of all this? And it's surprising that sometimes very young children make observations, and if you ask them, they'll tell you point blank what they really think.
Oh, how do they? Mouth the babes or something? And it just, you know, they are. They're very truthful. They just, you know, they don't discern as to what they need to hold back and what not. They'll tell you, that is for sure. The other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, sometimes when, let's say, a parent dies, and in the case of the father who is the breadwinner in the family and, you know, brings in all the financial security to the home, and all of a sudden that person is gone, and let's say an oldest child is all of a sudden put into the position of being the adult that's left to give that financial security or the emotional support. And sometimes that really kind of crosses some boundaries. And so I'd like you to comment on that.
This makes it very difficult for that child because they're not quite ready to do that. First of all, they've lost a parent. And secondly, they're not completely grown up, and this can be very burdensome. The child doesn't really know what he or she needs to do. If the adults around are very needy and having a difficult time, this child is probably not old enough to say, you know, we need family counseling. Hopefully somebody else in the family or maybe a neighbor will pick up on this and step in and help. But this can burden a child a great deal, and I think what happens there is that the child may try to cope at the time, but I think that they very quickly decide that they need to get away from it. If they get too trapped into this situation, I think there are going to be very serious emotional problems, and probably it'll cause a lot of friction in the family.
I'm sure, and, you know, there's sometimes the child may feel over-responsible, too, and attempt to take the place of the person that died. And, of course, if we know what that happens, you know, just more emotional trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, this is a really, it's difficult because if there is a death of one of the parents, the surviving spouse, you know, they're going through their own emotions, their own grief, and then they have these children. And then probably families that are telling them what to do or how to do it. And it's just, it must be a place that is just really hard to be in.
It is. It's very difficult. The surviving spouse often does have financial problems. I had to do a lot of the practical and the legal and the financial things, which amazed me. No one ever told me about that. And so you're compromising your time and your energy, And also, if you have to do things like that, you can't devote as much time to what you really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does become very difficult. I think it's hard to say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I really need. Set those priorities and just try to stick to them. But I think that when other people in the family or maybe a neighbor tries to give advice, I usually say, you know, if you really think it's helpful, go ahead. But otherwise, just say thank you very much. I'll think about that. And then go and talk to a professional. Professional people are available. There are counselors. There are financial advisors, legal advisors. And these are people who can look objectively at what you're trying to do. And this is what I ended up doing. Just go and talk to those people, and they'll tell you, here's what I think would really be helpful to you. And that kind of takes the pressure off the family.
Gosh, Judy, you know, you're giving us so many great thoughts and words of wisdom. And I just really encourage the listeners to listen to this again and just really take it to heart, because it's such an important topic that our society seems to just sort of shun or hope it goes away and never happens to us. But, you know, your book is so timely and so important. And listeners, the name of the book, I just want to say this again, is A Child's Grief, Surviving the Death of a Parent. And, Judy, I'm so glad that we talked about this. Do you have anything that we possibly missed that you'd like to relay to the listeners?
Well, I think really that grieving is too difficult to leave to chance. You can help yourself. You can help a child to be truly comforted and to heal. And if you have a handbook that tells you how, that's invaluable to a family. If you're working with children or whatever, I think it's important as a society that we accept the fact that we can do better, that we can solve a lot of problems immediately, that we can offset a lot of problems in the future. If we treat bereavement as a subject that needs to be understood and learn how to correctly, how to thoroughly mourn and move on, I think that as a society we're capable of doing this. We just keep pushing it off, and I think it's really timely for us to face the fact that this is something we can do for ourselves and for one another.
I so agree with you, and I encourage the listeners to go to your website, which is judystrong.com, and certainly look into getting this book, A Child's Grief, Surviving the Death of a Parent. It's such a timely and such an important topic. I just can't imagine at this time what would be more important than to, you know, get really centered. And because it's inevitable, we are going to have a death in the family. It's going to come. But it's going to be so much easier when we're prepared to deal with it.
Yes. It really will. We know that 1 in 20 children lose a parent by the time they're a senior in high school. This statistic just stunned me. That's a lot of kids dealing with loss, and so we can just project how many problems there are going to be for us and for our society. And we have so much adversity right now with loss of jobs and loss of homes and things that I think the whole country truly is grieving, and we don't even know it.
Exactly. I mean, this could be another topic again, you know, because it's not only grieving of death of a parent, but it's death of a job or, you know, the moving. There's just so much that we are grieving in our society. But thank you again, Judy. I really, really appreciate you talking to us. And I know that there are listeners out there that have thought about this, and this is just an encouragement for them to go and get your book and to talk about it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this talk.
There you have it, listeners. Wow, this has been such an important topic. And I hope you enjoyed listening to Judy as she gave us so many areas to consider. Again, I encourage you to talk with your families about death and the importance of children understanding grief so they can deal with it when faced with that situation. It happens. It just happens. And it's really important for us to be prepared, and especially to prepare our children. Again, Judy, thank you so much for talking to us, spending this time with us, giving a glimpse into your book, and most of all, encouraging us to deal with grief in a healthy way. I'm your host, Irene Watson. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.